The Guardian.
This Guardian podcast is supported by Squarespace. From the unusual to the extraordinary, your website stands out when you build it with Squarespace. Their designer templates let you easily create a unique and beautiful website that looks perfect on any device. See why some of the world's most influential people, brands, and businesses choose Squarespace. To start your free trial, head to squarespace.com/guardian.
Today, Premier League Round 3. Pedro powered Chelsea push past West Brom on another glum afternoon for Big JT. Loyal club servant now past his usefulness at the bridge. The JT to Arsenal bandwagon starts here. Elsewhere, Man City roll on and West Ham at home under the hammer against the Cherries, and much more from the Premier League. We've transfer news after United's bid. Neymar, the latest star, poised to join one of the most star-studded lineups around. Players who aren't joining Man United. We post Sid breaking off his holidays just to talk to us about the dawn of the Liga, plus all the rest of the European news ahead of this week's big Champions League playoff second legs. All of that in today's Football Weekly. Hey everyone, we're joined today, first time this season I think, by Simon Burnton. Hi Simon.
Hello.
Barry Glendening's here.
Hello.
Reliably, consistent presence from you, Barry.
Thanks.
Good. Mm. And also, Ian McCall.
Hello.
Jaunty Ian McCall. I was going to start with a fish finger update from you.
Yeah.
No?
Nothing.
Nothing yet.
And somebody,
so let's instead talk. Oh, go on.
Yeah, somebody had tweeted me to say that they used to work for Bird's Eye and that Bird's Eye should get in contact, but I've not heard anything from them.
Really?
Yeah.
Bird's Eye, what are you doing?
Disappointing.
That is disappointing.
Is an old sailor with a white beard about to come in now and present?
Not for the first time. Yeah.
Jaunty with a platter of fishy goodness.
The other big news, of course, at the moment is One Direction splitting or not splitting, which has led us on just before producer Pete pressed record, which I hope he's done actually. Yeah. About which was the worst boy band ever. Your votes, Ian?
I went for 5.
Barry?
I'm with him on that.
5?
Yeah.
One of their hits, Barry?
5 will... Everybody get up now. No, hold
Slam
on.
Slam Dunk the Funk.
Slam Dunk the Funk, yeah.
I'm putting it up, yeah. Simon Burnton.
I think New Kids on the Block caused me most pain.
Really?
Yeah, my sister liked them.
Hanging
And
tough.
Their music was really bad.
We're rough.
They didn't have the right stuff, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Conversely, Take That were maybe the best, or at least my favourite out of all of them.
I think Blue were the best.
What? I can't believe that Westfield, or whatever they're called, didn't get any votes for worst ever. They were the worst. A most upfront name of a boy band, Boyzone. Boyzone. Tell it like it is. Anyway, you came here for football. Let's talk some. Chelsea at West Brom. Sunday afternoon. This was exciting at the Hawthorns. Pedro, what a debut.
Yes, he scored. Mm-hmm. Slightly fortuitous goal. But a goal nonetheless went in off Jonas Olsen's ankle. He also had an assist, which was possibly slightly fortuitous too. And that was a huge influence on the game. And looked to be exactly what Manchester United need.
Hmm. In what way? Just generally giving a lift, a little bit of pace? Directness?
Pace, directness, scoring goals, creating goals, and... would be a welcome antidote to the ponderousness that is currently dogging Manchester United's play, which I'm sure we'll get on to later.
Yeah, one of the things I think that will please Mourinho most about Pedro's performance is that he tracked back quite a bit too. Like he was really effective going forward and combining with Fabregas and Costa, but he, you know, put in his fair share of, kind of intercepting crosses and, you know, tackles and things like that. So,
Is that a new haircut, Ian?
It is a new haircut.
All right. What would you call it? If I was to go and ask for that, which clearly... But if, say, Simon was to go and ask for that...
I would say...
What would he call it?
I'd say he'd call it a Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber.
There is an element of that.
It is okay. A bit of a bowl. All right, yeah. A little bit. A funky bowl, maybe.
Good for you.
Because you were rocking a quite spectacular mullet up until about a week ago.
And it was a few weeks ago. In my summer
West shop. Brom had an exciting debut of their own. That fellow Rondon, he looked quite interesting. Venezuelan, you know.
Jonathan Wilson, I think I've mentioned this before in the pod, wrote an article saying the reason he's at West Brom is because Zenit St. Petersburg basically had to sell him because of that quota foreign players that's been introduced. But he provided a wonderful assist for one of James Morrison's goals and looked lively.
Well, there you go. James Morrison, he could have had a hat-trick, only in the Premier League, eh, Simon?
Well, that is the competition he's currently playing in. So I guess in many ways, yes.
Yep, there you go.
But yeah, Runton, I kind of like the cut of his jib. He's a very broad player, but he makes the runs of a slender, nimble player. And kind of offers a bit of both of those worlds.
Oh,
and, of course, there's the do run, run done business, which is a welcome addition to the Premier League songbook.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, so they could have had a hat trick. And then at the end, there was a big chance as well. And it could have only been a draw. But Chelsea, with a man down at a ground which has proved their undoing in so many occasions in the past, getting their first win of the season. Are they back, Simon?
Well, they're improved. I do think that working with 10 men is something that, like, I trust Mourinho to have done that work. And there aren't many teams that I'd be more confident of when playing with 10 men than Chelsea.
Right.
Are they back? Yeah, they look improved. They look a bit more dynamic. The question is, you know, Manchester City aren't going anywhere. Are they back enough?
Are they back enough? That is the question. Well, the reason they were down to 10 men was...
Yeah, John Terry got rondoned. he essentially found himself the wrong side of Rondon bursting into the box onto a fine pass from Brent.
Right. Just thinking, couldn't they have had Rondon calling? That would have been a better one than Dudu Rondon, no?
I don't think that would have been better.
Really?
I think Dudu Rondon is excellent and is hard to be improved upon.
All right.
Though
Rondon calling. Yeah. But, anyway, John Terry, sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, got stuck on the wrong side.
Yep.
There was a bit of a touch, bit of an arm touch. I wasn't sure I'd go as far as to call it a pull, a tug.
But, streets of Rondon, do you think?
Streets of Rondon, that's okay. That's okay. If he were to buy a small village somewhere, then that would definitely be...
If it had a bridge, then you'd be... Yeah.
Yeah.
That needed... Sorry, there was in a state of disrepair. Anyway, John Terry, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Inconvenient timing, what with him being substituted last week. You know, Terry's, it's happened to him occasionally. His positioning generally has been, over his career, has been excellent. But every now and then, you know, he's not very fast. He gets caught out.
Right.
I thought it wasn't really his fault. I mean, he was left horribly exposed in
by
the first place.
By a good pass and a good run. It happens.
Yeah, and I thought the red card was... While amusing, slightly harsh.
Did you think so, Barry?
I did, yeah. What, harsh or amusing?
No,
well, both.
Both. Yeah. I thought there was contact and he was the last man and off you go, chum.
Yeah, well, yeah. I suppose it was fair, but I've seen situations...
Don't let your own personal preference for JT get in the way of your objectivity on this, Barry. That's all
fairly harsh, but yeah, he couldn't really have many complaints.
No, he's out for 3 games now, I imagine.
And he may get an additional ban for littering the pitch with the tape he used to keep his socks up.
Yeah, absolutely.
He just threw in the pitch and then...
It was the sulky way Morrison, he stripped his shin pads, yeah.
Morrison picked it up and handed it back to him, I think.
All right, well... There you go. I mean, that's the big Chelsea narrative at the moment, isn't it? John Terry and rumours of another bid for John Stones and all that kind of thing. But all in all, given how badly it looked like it might go, not too bad for Chelsea.
No, a lot done. More to do, I would say.
Right. As you say, though, City aren't going anywhere, or at least they are going places and fast. Another win, another clean sheet. That's what, 8 goals scored now, none conceded. The collar of goal, that was a bit special, wasn't it, Simon?
It was a bit special. I thought the assist for the second goal, Torre's assist for the second goal, that was gorgeous. I mean, that was, I could have sat back and watched that on repeat for a while.
I didn't think the collar of goal was that good.
Didn't you? I love the way he ran the entire length of the field.
Tim Harris should have saved it.
Yeah, that is fair. But he ran the entire length of the field, got the layoff, and then put it in from what looked like an impossible angle, or at least should have been an impossible angle had Tim Howard been doing his job.
Tim Howard obviously thought it was an impossible angle, which is why he
I guess so.
Covered a different one.
Tell you what, they look scary. That's 9 straight wins in the Premier League Man City have had. I'd hate to be the team that's facing them next at the Etihad. Who is that? Oh, Watford, Simon.
Yeah. They'll struggle to break Watford down on...
Sure they will.
Struggle a little bit, anyway. I was at Watford yesterday for their goalless draw with Southampton. I thought it was an intriguing match in the context of it being early in the season. a new manager at Watford, lots of new players, the kind of the journey that a team goes on over the course of a season, learning about the players, learning about each other. Diamanti made his debut in the second half.
What did you learn about Watford then?
Well, I think that they have 8 good players in good positions that suit them, and a few issues.
Mm.
They started with Ekechi Anya on the right wing, and he was dangerous mainly because of his pace. And then in the second half, they withdrew him, played him at left back, in order to bring on Diamanti. And then they lacked pace, and without the pace, they didn't really have any obvious means of stretching.
Is this the second straight 0-0?
It's the second straight 0-0.
This was the team that was scoring goals for fun last season.
Well, so it's kind of interesting to contrast them with, say, Bournemouth, in that Bournemouth have attempted to just roll on with last season's team in a similar style of play. Largely last season's team. Watford have massively restructured the team and the shape and the method. It's interesting to watch. And the games themselves, taken in isolation, the last couple of games, there have obviously been very few chances. And individually, I guess, if you were a Martian and you came down just to watch one game of football, you might find them a little dreary.
It's a long way to come for a game of football, but yeah.
It would be a long way to come.
Where did David Heitner come from? Because he certainly didn't enjoy it if his match report is anything to go by.
I was disappointed by the coverage in a lot of newspapers today, who journalists were savagely blasting the game as being, unbelievably dull. And, it's like a very juvenile approach to football to just sit back and expect people to score goals. And if it's not 4-3, then you've not been entertained and you can criticise it.
Mm. In a way that, say, Bournemouth's 4-3 win at West Ham couldn't hope to replicate the kind of adolescent squeaky thrills of that.
Yeah,
they come, they go, games like that, don't they? Which we talk about West Ham Bournemouth, because you make the comparison, or you were hinting at a comparison with the two approaches. Bournemouth still fielding people like Mark Pugh, now scored in every division. And this Callum Wilson hat trick. Before we talk about that, should we have a quick word, a moment perhaps, for Darren Randolph, who was brought in for Adrian.
Poor Darren. In his last 4 games against Bournemouth for, I think, 3 different clubs, conceded 20 goals.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
Do you think they have, like, tape of him that they run?
Well, to be fair, there wasn't really a great deal he could do about it yesterday, because the defensive display in front of him was possibly one of the worst I've ever seen in the Premier League.
And you're a Sunderland fan.
Yes.
No, it's true, because they shared that apparent disinterest with the notion of stopping whoever had the ball.
It was incredible how bad they were. I mean, you could almost feel the rage as well from Jacobs' match report. But it was unbelievably bad. It's scarcely credible how bad. The full backs, Cresswell had one of the worst performances I've ever seen. He certainly wasn't alone in being terrible, but he was directly responsible for 2 goals. I think all 4 goals were conceded because of individual errors, but the overall West Ham performance was thoroughly dreadful. And while it's far too early to say that they're in danger of being relegated, their last 2 games have been bad.
It's only 2 games since they had that memorable triumph at the Emirates, so there
it's,
is time
it's really
to...
weird, though, how a team can go from being so impressive to so bad in such a short space of time.
It is curious.
Yeah, well, in that game at the Emirates, they employed that diamond midfield, which worked really well because Arsenal didn't use it a huge amount of width. But when West Ham came up against, say, Leicester or Bournemouth yesterday, on Saturday, there was no protection afforded to the fullbacks, and they were just continually exposed.
Right.
And Bilic showed no sign that he could change that throughout, tactically change that throughout the match.
So essentially, then Eddie Howe sussed them and Claudio Ranieri sussed them, but Arsene Wenger was completely powerless to...
You can't imagine that sort of performance would have happened under Sam Allardyce.
Well, indeed.
Bournemouth were hugely impressive, though, and they really tore into them, so they were worth their win.
Like Callum Wilson with his hat-trick in only his 3rd top-flight game ever, Ian.
Yeah, and he's worked his way up from the third tier of football. We used to play for Kettering Town and Tamworth, I think, was the other side.
Oh.
And the two, his, okay, the penalty, whatever. But the first goal really showed this, you know, a great ability to finish. And the second goal showed some really good predatory instincts. So he should be good for them this season. Right. I think he got 23 goals for them last season.
Did he?
Could be wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, so good
there,
for it.
There was that moment, the Match of the Day criticised them for going in search of goal number 5 at the end. And you kind of thought, well, bollocks to that. You know, go on. Score a 5th.
Yes.
And, you know, that's why they were, you know, they were such a popular club for the neutrals last season. And more power to their elbow, I say.
Absolutely. West Ham are visiting Liverpool on Saturday.
They had injuries yesterday. Nolan, then he's no centre-forward. And they were kind of forced into playing him because of circumstance. They shouldn't always be that bad.
There's also a worrying amount of ill-discipline within the team. I think that's 5 red cards that they've got this season. And this is a team that qualified for the Europa League via the Fair Play League last season.
Yeah. They've obviously paging worked out that Europa League qualification is potentially more hassle than it's worth, and are making sure just getting it in early.
Right. Okay. That is where we're going to take a very quick pause, and then we're back with Man United and Newcastle, which is going to lead us on, I think, to this midweek and the round of Champions League playoffs, the second legs.
Producer Ben here, listeners, reminding you that the Football Weekly Roadshow is headed your way. We'll be in the Northwest in September for a night of ungodly football frolics at Manchester Cathedral. That's part of the Manchester Football Writing Festival. And then in October, we're headed to the seaside and a Friday night spot at the Brighton Comedy Festival. Badum and indeed Tish. We'll be announcing more dates and more destinations on our UK tour soon. For more information on all of the Football Weekly live events and to book your tickets, head to theguardian.com/guardianlive.
Hey, Man United, Newcastle, 0-0. This is a good result from Newcastle, who struggle, especially at Old Trafford. And Tovan, he could have won it.
Mm-hmm.
Should have won it.
Yeah.
Mm. Right at the death.
Might have been a bit
ball
harsh.
Put across.
Might have been a bit harsh on United, though.
Right. Who themselves had what they felt was a perfectly valid goal disallowed early on. A goal that would have rather changed the kind of current story on Wayne Rooney, which is that he hasn't scored a goal in 858 minutes, which is how many matches, Barry?
Near enough 10.
Good. All right. Or not good, indeed.
Man U's forward line's just not firing at all, is it? And like I said earlier, they look very ponderous. They were mightily impressive for the first 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I think Schweinsteiger got a knock or something, and that sort of took all the sting out of their attack, and yeah, they were very laboured throughout, and they really need to bring in someone, I think.
Neymar will solve all their problems.
Is it worth us asking Sid about that later on, or not so much?
I don't think it's going to
happen. I think Neymar
is... What about Ander Herrera, who's actually sat there within the Man United organisation, but doesn't appear to fit into Louis van Gaal's way of doing things, which I think must be getting a little bit frustrating for United fans. It's all very well this kind of this process that he likes, but...
Yeah, it seems his reluctance to play Ander Herrera seems extraordinary, because he's exactly what they need to fix their current problem, or you'd think he is anyway. And I would imagine the player is very frustrated as well, because if he can't get into the side, into a side that clearly needs his input, he mustn't see much of a future for
you himself. You think he's frustrated? Imagine Abe Woodward, the one player he was able to go out and sign. And Van Gaal doesn't even use him. Never mind, Jonathan Wilson pointing out, you'll see a new Man United next week when Plan B is back from suspension. Like Marouane Fellaini, who proved very effective in the game against Brugge, which he was able to play. Of course, the first leg where Man United won 3-1, goal from Fellaini there, right at the death. Man United will be travelling on Wednesday, it would be, to Belgium to take on Brugge, who lost at Zulte Waregem or something similar this weekend. And they should be all right there, you think?
Yeah, you think so. I mean, Brugge will probably curse in their luck that they conceded such a late goal, and that will almost certainly have taken the wind out of their sails. Manchester United really did dominate them towards the end of that game, and I can't foresee them having too much difficulty.
Given that United's defence is the one area of their team that is looking reasonably impressive, they look able to cope with a two-goal head start.
Right, good. Oh, the other playoff game, since you're asking, Simon, Celtic, a lot narrower that one after the first leg. Malmo, who pulled it back right at the death, 3-2. Malmo with two away goals as they prepare to host the Scottish champions this Tuesday? Tuesday, yeah. Malmo got beaten this weekend by Haken, while Celtic won 3-1 at Dundee United. Not sure if we're allowed to talk about this fixture, because I think we are. I think we are. How worried should Celtic be, Simon? On a scale of 1 to 10?
7.
I'm going with a 7 as well.
I'd go 9.
9?
Yeah.
Given their, there's the fitness question, isn't there?
And given their propensity to F it up in the Champions League.
I mean, they should have...
For fitness, because this was a late goal. That was exactly what Malmo had pinpointed as the Celtic area of weakness. And that could be a key issue this time around as well.
Yeah, I think there's a very grave chance that they could mess this one up. And it would be a shame, because it's a game they should have... had done and dusted by half time in the first leg.
2-0 up, didn't they?
Yeah, and they've given themselves all sorts of problems, and I hope they go through, but I fear the worst.
All right, Shakhtar are a goal up in their second leg against Rapid Vienna. They scored a goal in Austria. Did the exiled side from Donetsk. Batty beat Partizan 1-0 at home, so they're currently looking good to go through. Interesting game between Basel and Maccabi Tel Aviv. I did not know the people behind Maccabi Tel Aviv. Yeah, your former manager at Watford.
Yeah, Slavisa Jokanovic, who really, he was impressive in the second half of last season at Watford.
Mm. Do you know who their director of sport is at Maccabi Tel Aviv?
I do not.
Step forward, Jordi Cruyff.
Jordi Cruyff.
Yeah. Mm. And, you know, for Chelsea supporters, Talban Haim is also turning out for the Israeli champions, who...
The same Talban Haim, because they're two of them, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got both.
They got them both.
They've got them both. They got the sale. And they had two goals in a 2-2 draw away at Basel at St. Jakob's Park, which this was a big grudge match, apparently. I didn't know this, but Basel had met them twice, first in the Champions League playoffs and then when they were both in the Europa League later on that same season, and knocked them out of both competitions two seasons back. So Maccabi Tel Aviv looking forward to hosting the Swiss later on this week. Sporting are 2-1 up against CSKA Moscow. Monaco have a mountain to climb against Valencia, who won 3-1 there at the Mestalla. Although Monaco should have had a penalty, fair. Aussie keeper Matt Ryan doing ever so well in that game, if you're a fan of him. What, Ian? Another game that was great was Lazio Leverkusen, which Lazio won 1-0. We talked about this on Thursday, but Lazio with a first game of the season under in the league now under their belts as well. I think they're looking quite good to hang on to that lead. They look great on Saturday.
Panning their chances just a week ago.
I know.
Fickle, Jimbo.
No. What it is, it's football. I was right. Football was wrong. They should have lost that game, no question. Bayer were all over them at the Stadio Olimpico, but they didn't get the goal. But they had one disallowed, the Germans. And then Lazio threw on... They took off Klose, who was one of the players I was a little bit concerned about, and threw on Keita. And Keita started... It was a very pacey player, hit them on the break, and eventually got a goal. And now they take that goal to Germany. They look great, because they brought in another of their acquisitions on Saturday when they hosted Bologna. Kishner, former Ajax player. Hooray, Kishner, said the fans. when he scored for them, they just looked really good. And with Kandreva doing the business.
All right, like, I'm not having a go at you for getting a prediction wrong. Yeah. I just, the picture you painted was one of a club in a total mess.
Well, so they should have been destroyed by Leverkusen in that game.
Right. Can they challenge for the title?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because until yesterday I would have said, no way, Juve will win it again, duh. But Juve began with a defeat at home. For the first time in 89 years.
My God.
Yeah. They kind of dominated that game as well. And Udinese, very much against the run of play, beat them at the J Stadium, as it's now known. But it has rather opened up exciting possibilities of another team challenging. Whether it's Lazio, not sure about that.
Milan lost as well.
Yeah, Milan, who some people saw after 90-odd million euros spent over the summer, might be back among the contenders, but not judging on their first performance. They lost 2-0 at Fiorentina. Bacca, Carlos Bacca and Luis Adriano, their new front two, didn't have a single shot on target.
And they're going to have Mario Balotelli soon enough.
Well, that'll help.
Yeah.
Does look like that's going to happen.
Yeah, apparently they're going to pay a 3 million loan fee for Balotelli, and then I think they're going to pay half his wages.
Ah.
So he's having the medical today, they say.
All right.
And he's been told it's his very, very last chance.
Right. Well, it's good news for the hat fanciers in the Milan area.
How do you think Milan fans will react to that?
That's something that I'm not... I think Milan fans have a fairly jaundiced view by now of Milan's continued proclivities for bringing players in on a free or on loan deals like this. And this was very much their big gripe with the club last year. Finally, the club went and spent some money. And now they're doing this again, bringing Balotelli because they can, because nobody else wants him or what. I don't know. He's not the player they need, I don't think. Not certainly based on yesterday. That's not the area they need to sort out. They need midfielder, principally. Somebody to create play in the middle of the park. But anyway, early days, only the first game. And Fiorentina, well done to them. 2-0 they won. Sampdoria, five goals in the first half of their game against Carpi.
Poor Carpi.
Poor old Carpi. They did pull two goals back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they had a penalty. Could have made it 5-3. It was a very exciting game.
That's their first ever game in this area.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carpi Diem.
Carpi Diem.
That doesn't really make any sense.
Well, it works, though. Carpi's good, because if they continue that way, you could do anagrams and stuff with the... I should mention Roma, who only managed a 1-1 draw, because they're another side touted as possible contenders for the title. Am I losing you, Ian?
No. Okay. I'm still quite interested.
So they went to Verona, and they also have big signings. Edin Dzeko, Mo Salah, who came from Chelsea via Fiorentina. But they only managed a 1-1 draw, and they really didn't look good at all. In fact, probably their standout moment was from former Arsenal favourite Wojciech Szczesny. And what was a big weekend for former Arsenal players? For example, Simon, did you know that it took Nicholas Bentner to get a late equaliser for Wolfsburg in the Bundesliga? And I don't know if you saw it. If you haven't seen it, which you probably haven't, seek it out. Lassana Diarra, back now.
For Marseille,
yeah. Did you see this goal?
I didn't, but I heard it was brilliant.
It was absolutely astonishing. It really was. I mean, for me, it was the goal of the weekend. I know there were some great goals this weekend. Marco Matthias for Sheffield Wednesday and that.
Oh, that was a beaut, yeah.
But this is, I mean, it's just an awesome weapon that he's got. And he's going to use it, apparently. Strange story. He spent a year basically not playing because he was on strike in Russia or something. I'm not clear on the details. Oh, Cuadrado is joining Juventus.
Yep.
Which, you know, based on what he did at Chelsea, isn't that dramatic an announcement. But if he follows the kind of De Bruyne route, the Schürrle route, the Mo Salah route, you know, maybe he'll suddenly reawaken, rediscover his verve.
Mm-hmm. Is he what they need?
They need Pirlo back, just Pirlo. Right, well, we'll talk more about foreign stuff later on. Sid will be joining.
Spanish league's over already as well.
Yeah. We'll hear more about that later on. In other Premier League news...
Did you see that Sergio Aguero and Seamus Coleman had to draw the referee's attention to... I think someone in the crowd was having an epileptic fit.
Really?
And Sergio Aguero spotted them and spotted they were in distress. And I think there was a corner being taken, so he sort of got the ref to stop play and so medical attention could be brought to this unfortunate person.
Mm. All right.
Heartwarming.
Well, it's you'd like to see that happen.
I mean, well, yes.
Yeah. Palace Villa. Big win for Palace, 2-1.
Ed Aarons was that for us. I think he's a Palace fan, and he was saying that Alan Pardew lined up his team in quite a peculiar way. Jason Puncheon was playing as a holding midfielder with Caballé out on the right, which seems kind of strange, but it worked. So Alan Pardew, tactical genius.
Oh. And a man of the match performance by all accounts from Bakary Sakho?
I don't know.
So they say?
He was wildly prolific last year for Wolves. Mm. And it seems like he was a
one of those signings, like when you're talking about Balotelli for going to Milan. He was just there. He was available. He was on a free, and Palace thought. Pardew was saying that it wasn't his doing, really. It was the chairman who kept on saying, "Yeah, we can do it. Why not?"
Right, excellent.
So, yeah.
Spurs did a Spurs again, losing the lead. This time away at Leicester. Leicester, though, look at that. Riyad Mahrez, 6 goals in his last 6 appearances. Jamie Vardy, since the start of last season, has had more Premier League assists than any other forward. And Leicester City, famously, since the start of April, have picked up more points than any other side.
Mahrez, he think he cost $350,000 from Le Havre, and God, he's playing a blinder. He's a great purchase. I mean, on current form, and given the silliness of some of the money that's been paid for various players, you'd value him at well over $10 million at the moment, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
You'd be worried about Spurs, though, wouldn't you?
Would you be worried here?
Yeah, especially going forward. They've just no impetus at all. And Kane's kind of in a mini drought. And Lamella's still not looking like anything worth the money they paid for him.
Kane now 2 goals in his last 15 appearances for club and country. Will Berahino come?
Yeah.
You know, it seems that they should just draw a line under Lamella at this point. Now, over this summer, they got rid of so many of the signings that they made in that post-Bale transfer window of shame. And... I think Chadley arrived also in the same summer, and you know he's doing fine. But Lamella has had, you know, he had the difficult first season. He had the also turned out quite hard second season, and you know, I don't know if they can find someone to take him off their hands.
Milan, it'll be Milan probably.
There were rumours late last night that the Berahino deal was going to be hijacked by Manchester United.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he was exaggerating for effect, but Tony Pulis suggested there were 15 different clubs looking for him. So I'm just curious to know if, you know, are they all Premier League clubs? And if,
that's
if
most
they
of
are,
Premier League.
Probably who are the four who don't want him?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Arsenal, for a start. Don't want to go confusing things, getting another striker in. Barry, you went to Norwich Stoke this weekend. What happened?
The game finished 1-1. It was very enjoyable, and... Norwich should have won at their leisure, but Jack Butland in the Stoke goal played inspirationally well.
With a broken finger?
Yeah, it was Mark Hughes revealed after the game that he'd broken his finger on Thursday morning.
That's insane.
The index finger on his left hand.
Which one's the index? That one there?
Yeah.
That's a pretty...
The one beside your thumb.
Right, that's a pretty fundamental finger if you're going to be, you know, having balls hit at it at pace.
Well, yeah, I mean... He didn't take pain-killing injections either. Just played through the pain and played very well. I mean, the goal he let in was a bit of a horror show, as he called it himself, I think. Went through his legs and it was struck by a defender, Russell Martin. But apart from that, he saved, several. I mean, I think he made 6 or 7 top-drawer saves from various players.
That's that playing through pain. That's a great playing through pain story. My favourite playing through pain story. Have I ever mentioned this? Magnus Backstead doing the Paris-Roubaix. Yeah. Paris-Roubaix, this is the hell of the north, as it's known, because a lot of it's on cobbles and the weather's often very bad and you're just riding on these cobbles. Anyway, early on, he crashes and fractures his wrist. Most normal people wouldn't be in this race to begin with, but... Then the next kind of category of people would go, well, I've just fractured my wrist. I can't possibly ride this of all races. Magnus's reaction instead was to find the biggest pothole he could see and ride as hard as he could into it. Bam! Because he knew that the shock of the pain would produce an adrenaline surge through his body and effectively numb his arm. And that's what he did.
Tyler Hamilton once rode half the Tour de France with a broken collarbone.
Oh, that's true. Mind you, he was on all sorts of gear at the time.
Well, he was, yes, but even so, it's still pretty impressive.
Quite often, I don't know about breakages, but strapped together fingers that are dislocated.
Yeah, but...
Thumbs are the issue with goalkeepers.
Are they?
If you strap them to the other thumb, you'd look really silly.
Right.
But jazz hands.
Another piece of Stoke might be on the way. You were hinting that maybe John Walters will be off to, is it Norwich?
Well, Norwich put in a bid for him on Friday and Stoke said it was too low. I think they said they want to keep him, but not so much that they're prepared to give him a contract extension. So he has a year left on his deal, and Mark Hughes said after the game that they'd probably run down his contract if they couldn't, you know, agree an extension or whatever. And Norwich fans made it clear that they don't want him at Norwich.
Oh, really?
He used to play for Ipswich Town.
Oh, well then.
Makes him undesirable. But, you know, I'd probably get over it if he turned up and delivered. I mean, Norwich could do with a bit of cutting edge up front, but they played very well. And I would say there's zero chance of them getting relegated if they continue to play like that.
All right. Shaqiri, what did you make of him?
Yeah, he was impressive. He set up the goal with it was his free kick that Mamad Biram Diouf headed in to put Stoke ahead. I mean, they were on the back foot a lot of the game, and he was quite happy to do his put in a shift defensively. He spent a lot of time back helping out Glenn Johnson in the right back position, and he was clearly not particularly match fit, but he. I'm sure that will improve.
Right.
Yeah, it'd look pretty impressive.
Okay. And Sunderland got a big point at home to Swansea.
Yeah, they did. And apparently played reasonably well, but they still need quite a few players, according to their manager. And Ellis Short has come out fighting, you know. Michael Gray accused him of constantly lying to the fans about not, you know, promising them players and then failing to deliver. And Short came out with both guns blazing and said that Gray was out of order. And they've Sunderland have requested that any media outlets Gray works for no longer roster him on for Sunderland games.
Which is a bit much, I mean, especially because he's a pretty important player to Sunderland, he was.
Well, he's Sunderland born and bred, and he's a fan of the club, and he played for them nearly 400 times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it seems a bit childish, but.
But anyway, good point for them. And that's it for all that Premier League business. Next up.
You haven't addressed the very controversial issues, the mid-session drinks intervals that were staged up and down the country.
I'd love to, Barry, but Sid's expecting a call any second now. Part four, everybody. It's Sid Hello, Lowe in Spain.
How you doing?
Sid, I'm well. Where are you?
I'm in Mallorca.
Sid,
where the water don't taste like what it ought to.
Yeah, yeah.
Sid, I'm very worried. You appear to be doing more work on your holidays than most people do in their actual jobs.
Yeah, it's a bit of a down on that, isn't it?
If only your holiday hadn't coincided with the start of a brand new Spanish season.
Yeah, exactly. If only I'd planned it slightly better, yeah.
Hey,
planning Jimbo and Spanish football. You know, last Thursday, this is what, the day before the season starts, they released the third fixture list for the season.
Wow.
I'm just fingers crossed that this is now the last. And they've stuck around the games in at Christmas. For the first time in, I would say, 25 years, I think, since early 1990s.
So no winter break this year?
Well, there is a winter break because they're sticking it at the back end of Christmas. So it'll be on the 30th and the 31st of December. So there'll be something like a six-day break because they'll finish on, I think, the 23rd. And so there'll be the kind of like a mini break.
Right, okay. Well, Sid, what can you tell us about the opening round of games?
Sorry, go on. I didn't know if you were going to
no,
ask.
No, you go right ahead.
What I can tell you is there's been very, very few goals. Mm. You need three goals in tonight's game for this not to be the worst start to the season ever in terms of goals. And two of the three have been scored by Roberto Soldado and Iago Aspas.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, he scored three goals in almost 3,000 minutes for Spurs. And then he had that brilliant presentation we were having a chuckle over last week on the pod. And then he scores, 31 minutes in?
Soldado is a good striker. I mean, I think he will score goals for them. He's completely the wrong type of style for him at Spurs. I suppose he would probably think, well, those stats in terms of minutes suggest that he had more of a chance than he thought. But he would probably say he didn't have a chance. He can't properly explain why it didn't work at Spurs, but I'm glad he's back and I'm glad he's scoring because I just think it was one of those bizarre ones where it just wasn't right for him. It also is this weekend. I think I'm right in saying that it's eight goals scored and three of them are free kicks. So there's only been five from open play.
Right. Yeah, I should stress, actually, it was three goals from open play in that time at Spurs, not three goals.
Oh, because there's a few penalties, isn't there, from the Europa League and stuff,
Going into this season, Sid, there was a lot of interest about whether we might have Atletico Madrid with the title challenge again. They've had some really exciting signings over the summer. Barcelona were shipping goals all over. I think, was it eight in two games between Super Cup games? And Real Madrid, arguably, with a bit of a question mark over their manager, Rafa Benitez. What did the opening round of matches, how did that influence, say, your thinking on the title race?
Well, I mean, I personally think actually that my thinking at the moment on the title race is probably goes against the weekend's results. Real Madrid were held to a 0-0 draw against Sporting Gijón, who are back for the first time in this is for after 3 years in the second division, and on a team that actually it was a miracle they came up in the second division, let alone to now try and survive in the first. But they got a 0-0 draw with Madrid, which is the fifth time that Madrid have failed to score in nine games under Benitez. Now, obviously, pre-season games, you've got to be a bit careful with them. But there is a slight sense of it being a little bit chaotic up front and not quite working the positions of the players, the way they interchange. But I think, looking at that from last night, to some extent, they were actually a little bit unlucky. I mean, I think they took 20 or 22 shots on goal. They probably should have got the goal, even though it was quite chaotic the way that they played. And so I don't necessarily think that huge conclusions can be drawn from that, but it is true that the functioning of the front four isn't quite there yet. The position of Bale, I think, is a really big question mark, as him as a number 10. I actually thought he was quite good last night, but he was quite good when he moved away from that position, I thought, when he went to the left, and Bale good on the left. I mean, who'd have thought it? It's bizarre in a way that it's taken this long for people to see it.
It's like Harry Redknapp never happened.
Or like Maicon never happened. Yeah. But Barcelona won 1-0 with a goal from Luis Suarez, and actually 1-0 away at Athletic Bilbao is a really quite a good result, particularly on the first day, particularly with everything that's come with pre-season and players being injured and so on. But I think the first half of the season is going to feel really, really long for Barcelona. They've got a couple of, obviously they've got mumps. They've got mumps, not all of them. Neymar has got mumps. Sergio Busquets will be out probably for a couple of weeks. Dani Alves is going to be out for at least a month. The squad is very, very short indeed. Not the first time we said that, boom, boom, etc. and so on. And losing Pedro, I'm not really sure that there's a huge amount they could do about that. He wanted to go and Chelsea paid the clause effectively. But they do look very, very short. And of course, they can't get the new players that they signed, Alex Vidal and Arda Turan, into the squad until Christmas. And lots of people saying, oh, the transfer ban's a mockery. Well, it's not a mockery if they can't play. It's still a ban. They're still not allowed to play, even though they've been signed up. They're there kind of, kicking their heels at the moment. And in the first half of the season, Barcelona obviously have had already three extra Super Cup games. They're going to the World Club Championships, and they go away between now and Christmas to all of the good sides. They go away to Athletic, to Atletico, to Valencia, to Sevilla, and to Real Madrid. I mean, it's almost as if it's been set up to say, quick, let's stick all the bad games in before they've got their full squad. I genuinely think that despite a pretty impressive win, this is going to be really quite difficult for them, I think, the first half of the season.
Right. Well, especially the way they're shedding players. You mentioned Pedro, now at Chelsea, Xavi has gone off to Qatar, and Neymar's next, we hear. Neymar on his way to Old Trafford, as you probably know.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
Is he negotiating a new deal at Barcelona or anything like that, by any chance?
Well, he was negotiating a new deal, which didn't get signed, but they said, I mean, obviously they were bound to say this, they said it was all set up, it was fine, it wasn't going to be a problem. I think I'm right in saying that it's 2018 at the current deal ends. So, I mean, it's not really, really urgent by any means. It just seems very, very bizarre to me.
Have you heard, I know you're on holiday and that, but, amongst all the chatter on the beach, have you heard anything about, supposedly he said to Man United that he'd be open to move and this?
No. And also, I did see a thing that suggested that his agent was at a Manchester United game. This is his agent, who, by the way, isn't his agent.
Right.
who goes to quite a lot of football matches. I mean, I just think it's a bit odd, to be honest. By the way, you asked me about Atletico, didn't you?
Sorry, oh, yeah, yeah.
We've gone on such a massive long tangent. They do look exciting. They weren't brilliant at the weekend. They won 1-0 with a deflected free kick from Griezmann, but they've got a really, really nice looking forward line, and there were moments where you think they're going to be really good to watch this year.
Cool.
Sid, if Real Madrid, say, were to not win three or four games, how long would it take for Benitez to get the bullet, do you reckon?
I don't know about the bullet, but I think the pressure would start pretty quickly, because there is a sense that in Spain, and I suppose probably in England, but I think more so in Spain, where it tends, the kind of football criticism tends to be a bit more puritanical, there is that kind of lingering feeling of him being a defensive coach that's not particularly popular. I personally think that is kind of, it's a stick that gets used against managers when results don't work. I think it is not often used against them when results are actually going okay. So if they keep winning, they should be all right. I personally think they've been given a reasonably comfortable start to the season and so should have the time to come through this. I thought they probably suffered for not having Benzema this weekend. But yeah, I think Benitez could potentially be in an awkward position. But the bottom line is I suspect they'll start winning pretty quickly and winning quite comfortably. And the test really will be when the really big games come in March and April in the Champions League. And then I suppose by then, you know, it's a different stage of the season in terms of saying, oh, that was an early sacking.
Mm. Is that the wind blowing, Sid? Is that the wind?
Yeah, it's a little bit of wind.
Where are you? Are you on the beach at the moment?
No, I'm working. I'm trying to write today's column.
Oh, wow, okay. Wow. You got wind? Where are you working?
Well, I've just stepped outside to take the dog.
Oh, I see.
Right. The reception's not too good around here. And right. So I was trying to escape the dog who was barking at me a minute ago.
All right, well, give our regards to Estela. I hope she's enjoying herself.
Yeah, she's been... Oh, there she goes. Yeah. She's been in and out of the pool. She's quite pleased with us.
How long does it take Estela to dry out when she's been for a dip?
When
she's
it's
very
hot,
hairy.
Yeah, you have to cut her hair. If you let her hair gets really long, in the winter it takes hours and hours, but in the summer it doesn't take too long.
Yes, listeners, because you were wondering, weren't you? Anyway, all right, Sid. Listen, you get back to your business, and we'll catch up with you again soon. Thanks for taking time out.
All right, pleasure.
Cheers, Sid. Well, that's largely it then for today's extra special Football Weekly. One or two other little bits and bobs from around the wide world of football. Did you see Quaresma's goal? We were talking about great goals. Do you see Quaresma's goal? His Trivella goal for Besiktas. He's moved to Besiktas. Oh, it's astonishing. Some people have cast a little bit of doubt about whether he meant it. You know, like the way they always do, the haters, they say it was a cross. But I don't think so. I think he knew what he was doing.
Great. Sorry, goal. I'm going to have to ask. Trivella?
Trivella, yeah. It's his trademark move. You hit it with the outside of your boot and you give it a certain spin. And, I mean, if you see this goal, it's about the best example I've seen of it. So this is a Quaresma. I don't know who it's against.
I note his name down under Lassana Diarra here.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Diarra... Well, anyway, so Quaresma, typical performance. He scored the goal, and then he got a red card about 2 minutes later, and this is his debut for the Turkish side. The Diarra goal was... The context for that, Simon, you like a bit of context. Marseille have had this awful start to the season. They sold off loads of players, lost both their first two games without scoring any goals. The manager walks out, Bielsa, after the first one. And then they have a kind of standing guy. They've been through all these different names, people they wanted to come in. Eventually, they settle on Michel, a former Real Madrid man. And he comes in. His first game, they won 6-0. 6-0. And the Diarra goals was the pick of them, but there were some other very classy-looking ones in there. And Germany. We should mention that. Oh, Dan Wicken says, did you enjoy seeing the Wickham ball boy celebrate? Have you not seen this?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, it's good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. Wickham scored a goal, I think, in like the 93rd minute. They won it. The player ran to the corner flag, kind of picked up the young ball boy and sort of did it like a helicopter.
No. The ball boy jumps onto him.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He sprints the length of the goal line and leaps onto him.
And I missed that
all bit. The players join in and he's just part of the whole thing.
Okay.
On the subject of young people in performing roles at football matches, they were introducing the various mascots before the game at Norwich Stoke, and it was a real press box talking point that one of them was 14.
Really?
Which we felt was too old? Slightly too old, right, to be a mascot.
And did Wes Hoolahan get introduced by mistake or anything?
No. One of my colleagues who I didn't get his name, I don't know him, but he was sort of positing the theory that surely you would get absolutely rinsed at school if you were a 14-year-old mascot.
Do they make them pay at Norwich for the pleasure of being a mascot?
I couldn't tell you.
I find that really bizarre that some clubs do.
It is really expensive at some clubs.
Yeah, it's like
£1,000
or something, isn't it? I think that might be for the Champions League or something stupid like that.
You could conceivably, as a 14-year-old mascot, be standing in front of a player who's only 2 years older than you.
Yeah.
A bit like when Kramer was ball boy at the US Open. Do you remember that time?
No, I didn't miss that one.
Wow. Kramer Harry. Was
That must be the only episode of Seinfeld I haven't seen.
Yeah, he outpaces all the young lads at it.
I've never watched any Seinfeld.
Have you not?
No. Never.
Never. Germany. I just want to quickly mention this. Last thing, Germany. We talked about the title race potentially in Italy and also just now with Sid in Spain. Germany, where Bayern Munich pretty much got it tattooed. I mean, they pay out pretty much in the second week of the season, the bookies over there. But this time around, maybe not, because Borussia Dortmund are back. Thomas Tuchel taking over. And they're absolutely flying. They're opening two games of the season, 2-4-0 wins. And they're looking brilliant.
And Bayern are...
Well, Bayern are also looking pretty good. Did you see? It was the fastest goal in German football top flight history.
Was it?
Yeah. Hoffenheim scored after 9.3 seconds, I think it was. Kevin Volland. Yeah, from kickoff. And then Bayern had a man sent off. Boateng got a red card. Boateng, rather. But they still came back and beat them. Well, that's it, listeners. We're all done here. So, you know, make your own way through the days to come till we're back on Thursday with news of those midweek Champions League playoff matches and a big look forward to all the action that awaits this weekend. It's been ever so much fun, Barry, having you along today.
It's been a delight to be here.
Yeah, Ian McCourt, Sam Burton.
Thank you.
Lovely
Thank
stuff. You. Really enjoyed that context on Watford Saints. And you, producer Pete, he'll be back Thursday. Let's hope you will be too, listeners. Bye-bye.
This Guardian podcast is supported by Squarespace. From the unusual to the extraordinary, your website stands out when you build it with Squarespace. Their designer templates let you easily create a unique and beautiful website that looks perfect on any device. See why some of the world's most influential people, brands and businesses choose Squarespace. To start your free trial, head to squarespace.com/guardian.